going to be a blessing. He said he'd wipe our tears from our eyes. And he said that we'll be there for all eternity. What a blessing. And he said there'll be no death there. Amen. And so that song is right on target as far as what the Bible teaches. Amen. All young kids, listen up. Sister Janie has said to get your Valentine's and lollipop off the bulletin board out in the foyer after church. Now, don't make a mad rush out there right now. But if you see a Valentine out there and a lollipop with your name on it, get it. It'll be yours. Now, you're not supposed to get everybody's, but make sure you get yours, and we'd appreciate that. All right, Jeremiah chapter 50. Turn your Bibles there if you have them, please. Jeremiah chapter 50. And we'll read a few verses and bring you a message this morning and trust God will bless and work in our hearts. Had a good number this morning in spite of the snow. That sometimes will scare folks off, and I understand if they get higher elevations or live a little high, they can't get to the drives. If you got a steep drive, you can't get out. Ain't that right, Brother Jeremy? Jamie, I mean, yeah, can't get out. I've been praying for another camper, and I got one right back there. So don't y'all help him out. Just leave it there. Get his truck out, but leave the camper, and we'll be in business. All right, Jeremiah 50. And I want to read the first, read the first five verses. The Bible said, the word of the Lord spake and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations, and publish, and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken. Baal is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded, and her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come, and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the good day, and thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the good singing. And Lord, I pray that thy word today, God, would find lodging in the heart of every one here this morning. I pray, God, for that one that's here lost and without Jesus. I pray, God, that you'd save them today before it's everlasting too late. Now, God, I pray that you'd honor your word. I pray, God, that you would speak through me today. And God, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you, God, for all that you do. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. We see in verse number 5, the Bible saying, they shall ask the way of Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. I want to bring you a message on this thought this morning, seeking spiritual blessings. Hey, listen, you'll never find them unless you go a-looking for them. Have you ever, when we were growing up, and I don't emphasize this too much anymore, but I know growing up we'd hide eggs all over the place at Easter, you know. We'd go to Easter egg hunting, and we'd hide them, and you had to seek to find them. If you didn't find them, you didn't get them. And you can do that with many different things. But Jeremiah said that these people have gone seeking after the Lord. Isn't it amazing how God can put a man in a position to where all he can. And then that'll make that man many times go to looking for something a little better. He'll try to figure out what's caused me to get in this mess. God's got my attention. What am I going to do with it? Jeremiah said about these. Now he said they're coming in and they're seeking the Lord. He's talking about Israel's return to God. And listen, believe you me, I don't care what the government says and what's going on in this day in which we live. They'll never destroy Israel. They'll never do away with God's chosen people. I've said this often. I've never been in the service. I wasn't even a Boy Scout. But I've said this often. I'll fight against most any nation except Israel. I just cannot fight against God's people. He said they belong to Him. Now, not every Israelite is saved. I know that just because they are God's chosen people, that doesn't mean that every one of them is saved. They're not saved, all of them. They got to be saved just like you and I got saved through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is a preacher that has been on television sometime several years ago. He made the statement that the Israelites were saved a different way than we were. I beg to differ. God shed His blood for the whole world. He didn't shed His blood just for everybody but the Israelites, or for the Israelites and not everybody else. He shed His blood rather for the whole entire world, that we could get saved and born again into the family of God. I'm still glad I can stand up and declare unto you and say, whosoever will, gospel. Every man, woman, boy, or girl can be saved and born again. But we see some interesting facts about Israel. Hey, it's amazing how God can put certain things in your life and allow circumstances to turn. And I've told you this before, but I'll say it again. I believe in the providence of God, and I believe in how God works things, and how in His providence, how He lines things up and how He sets things in motion so that you and I could be at a certain part, a spot at a certain time, so that He could get our attention. Hallelujah for that. But we find that the Jews, or the Israelites, now they are seeking the Lord, and they're coming back. But we see, first of all, after much problems, they finally decided that they were going to seek the Lord. Now, the Bible said in verse number 5 there that they shall ask the way of Zion. Other words, they finally got concerned about their condition. And do you know an old lost sinner will never get saved until he's concerned about where his soul's going to go? Until he gets concerned about the destiny of his soul after he dies. Boy, I've talked to people down through the years, Brother Derek, and they have no interest, no absolute no interest in getting saved and born again. But you let them become destitute. Let them get on their deathbed. Let them have their back against the wall. And that very same one that has no concern, all of a sudden now has concern about where he or she may spend eternity. Well, listen, you got to have concern, and I like to use this old-fashioned word. I believe you got to have old-fashioned conviction before you can ever get saved and born again. The Bible said that the Spirit of God must draw a man. Other words, He must convict us of our sins before we can ever get saved. But like so many today, they're not concerned about getting saved. They're not concerned about reading the Bible. They're not concerned about going to church. Hey, listen, we find several instances in the Bible where several men just decided they wasn't so much concerned about getting saved today, but they'd do it later. But Solomon warned us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, I believe it is, in verse 1. He said, boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's on tomorrow. I'll guarantee you there'll be some people laid to rest today in America that just a few days prior, that was the last thing on their mind was dying. They didn't have any intentions of dying. Hey, I don't have any intentions of dying. I know I'm going to one day. But I don't ever get up the first day of the week and mark my calendar, okay, this might be the day now. I just think I'll die today. Or I think I'll find me a day this week that I can die. No, no. I try to look on my calendar and I try to figure out some days that are good days. I know, November the 14th, 1953, I was born into this world, and every year since then, I've always celebrated my birthday, my physical birth. I look forward to that day. Now I finally reached that point to where, it doesn't excite me like it used to. It's another day, but I'm glad for any day above ground.
Hey, but more than that day, and of course I'm happy for that day, but I'm happy for that day that Jesus Christ come into my heart and birthed me into the family of God and set my feet on a solid rock, and now I'm glory bound and heaven bound, and one of these days I'm going to live forever with Jesus. That's an exciting day when you got saved. Well, mark that down on your calendar. Don't forget that day that you got saved. Hey, listen, there are a lot of good days, too many good days to have to get up there and decide it's so bad, I believe I'll just find me a day to mark out for death. Now, I know it's good to plan certain things. My wife and I told you the only land we own down there in South Georgia, and I'll sell it to you if you own it. We got two cemetery plots we own down there, and I hope we don't have to use them. I hope the Lord comes back for thee. That's as close to planning as I've come to dying on this earth. Now, of course, when I got saved, that was the greatest plan. But there are people today have no concern about dying. Well, I'll just get around to it one day, preacher. If I think it's all right, I'll come around. Hey, look with me at a couple of characters in the book of Acts with me right quick. I want to show you. Acts chapter 24, let's look at this one. I mean, old Felix thought, well, I'll get saved one day. But listen to what he said. Acts chapter 24 and verse number 24, the Bible said, "And after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." In other words, he heard a gospel message. I guarantee you Paul didn't talk to him about bingo. He didn't talk to him about some kind of deal going on. He didn't talk to him about building a building. Hey, some churches, boy, they got to vote on every single thing you do. I mean, you change a light bulb, they vote on it. I mean, that's ridiculous that some of the things churches get caught up in. They get caught up in the lighter things. And God says we need to give more heed to the weightier things of the matter. But old Paul, son, he preached unto Felix the gospel. I mean, him and his wife both heard the gospel. The Bible said, "And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." Isn't that just like some? He thought, well, Paul gave him some money. Hey, money won't buy your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. There's no earthly way that you can buy your way to heaven. And Felix heard the gospel. The Bible said he trembled. I told you the story of a man that I was witnessing to one time. I mean, it's just so vivid, like it happened yesterday, and I was a brand new teenager in Christ. My brother and I had been out soul winning, and we was talking to this old man down there in Albany, Georgia, Brother Charles, and he sat there and was literally trembling and tears in his eyes. He was on the verge of getting saved, and his old Drusilla wife walked in, and she said, "You got to go." I said, "But your husband's fixing to get saved." She said, "We're fixing to have dinner. You got to go." I looked at him and he didn't say a word. I said, boy, how sad to let his wife keep him out of heaven. Yeah. We had to leave. Brother Carl, we didn't get to talk to him anymore. To my knowledge, that guy never got saved. And old Felix said, "Hey, I'll ask for you to come at another time when it's more convenient." Well, let me ask you, when is a more convenient time to get saved? I mean, when a man realizes that he could drop off into hell at any given moment, I think that's a pretty good time. I don't think you need a better time. You don't need to wait for some of your loved ones to be there. You don't need to wait so you can get a crowd to see you get saved. Hey, if God, the Holy Ghost, is dealing with your heart and you know you're lost and without God, you must be born again. And today would be a wonderful time to get saved and born again. But old Felix just decided he'd wait for another day. Look in Acts chapter 26. We see another one did the same thing. The Bible said in verse 27, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." In other words, Paul said, "I know you're under conviction." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou,
but also all that heard me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He says, boy, I wish everybody here was saved and born again, except for these bonds, and not have bonds on me. Can you imagine Felix? Can you imagine Agrippa in hell this morning? And the only word that he repeats over and over and over again is that one word, almost. I wonder how many people have died and gone into a Christless eternity in hell. They've heard the gospel. They've heard the message. They're under conviction. Family prayed for them. They know they should have been saved. And yet they die and go to hell. Hey, you know one of the tragedies of hell is going to be this. You're going to have a memory there. You're going to remember the fact that you could have been saved and did not get saved. The rich man died and in hell, the Bible said, lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Seeth Abraham afar off. And he said, hey, send somebody back that they might warn my brethren. Send somebody back. I don't want them to come to this terrible place. And I could give you example after example of people that I know personally that have died without Christ. The other day I was talking to a couple of men about that girl that was with me my senior year of high school when that drunk man ran into us. I was witnessing her that day, Brother Jamie, about getting saved. She wouldn't get saved. That drunk ran into us. She like Felix. She like Agrippa. She said, when I get ready, when I get time, I'll get saved. She never has had another time. I mean, she went out into a Christless eternity. When I was laying there on the ground, I looked over at her. I knew, Brother Derek, I knew without a doubt that girl's soul is in hell right now, this moment. That's sad. How do you comfort a family when you know their loved one's going to hell? I have people to call me often in Alabama when I pastor down there. Mrs. Gassett from the funeral home would call me and she'd say, preacher, we got a family here that doesn't have a church and they don't have a pastor. Can you preach their funeral? And of course, I did. But I can't preach them out of hell. I cannot. No preacher can change the eternal destiny of a soul that's died. They are either in heaven or they're in hell. I don't care how many good words I say, that won't change one bit. Not one. I'm just saying, we need to make sure we know the Lord. And Israel, they said, hey, we're concerned. We want to know. We want to know where we're going. The Bible said they shall ask the way of Zion with their faces thitherward. That word thitherward simply means, hey, man, they've set their face toward heaven. Now listen, saved people, once you're under conviction, boy, you got something greater on your mind than going to the store. You got something greater on your mind than going to visit Uncle Johnny and Aunt Susie. We got greater concern on our mind. We want to know that, hey, now we're seeking heaven. Right. Wasn't it a blessing that God can change a man's direction? Isn't it a blessing that God can turn you completely around from going to hell to now going to heaven? Hey, as a child of God, we set our face thitherward. We're looking toward heaven. We're wanting to see the Lord. Listen to what Paul said. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, let me read you a few verses here, what he said about them. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 14, Paul said, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Hey, can you say plainly that you're going to heaven? I mean, can you say without a shadow of a doubt, I know I'm going to heaven? Can you say, heaven, my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't have to depend upon what the preacher says. I don't have to depend upon what mom and daddy says. I don't have to depend upon what some relative says. I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Can you say that plainly this morning? I mean, they were looking for a country and they could say it plainly. He said in verse 15, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Hey, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hey, the Lord said if we'll confess him before men, he'll confess us before his Father in heaven. Hey, God's not ashamed to call you his child, and we ought not be ashamed to call him our Father. Man, we're looking for a city. We've set our face toward heaven. Hey, you're not going to be down here forever, I promise you. I mean, if you'll read, you can see in Genesis. I mean, you can read there early in Genesis. A man would live, and after so many years, he'd die. He lived so many years, he'd die. Hey, wasn't just a couple of men that God just called out that didn't die. But I'm saying, as a rule, my dear friend, every one of us, barring the rapture, are going to die. But if we do die in Christ, we got that blessed promise from God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hey, you don't have to die and go to hell this morning. You know you're saved. Hey, they set their face toward heaven. Now listen, don't be like a bunch of hypocrites would do. Oh, they say they're seeking God, but they only seek Him when they're in trouble. Now some of you men that have been in battle, you have fought the wars. You've been in the wars. You've been in the midst of wars. And you know what's amazing? Every time there's a bad war, generally, there'll be a few in our country that'll start praying. I had a man in my church in Georgia when I pastored down there. I worried about his salvation. Even when I buried him, I was concerned about his salvation. Of course, it's too late then. But his salvation experience to me, Brother Carl, was this. He said, I was in the war, and there was a hand grenade thrown over close to us. And he said, I just simply said, God, if you let me live, I'll serve you. Well, he lived, but was that really salvation? I think the Holy Ghost of God got to deal with the man, not the hand grenade. Amen. The thing is, man better be ready, so if the hand grenade does go off close by you, if you do go out, you'll go on out to glory. But I believe with all my heart, man's got to be under conviction. Hey, but see, some people, they'll use that as an excuse to draw nigh to God. Oh, we got a war going on, let's pray. My nephew Travis Carlisle left Thursday. He's now over in Afghanistan, or Iraq, I guess it is. And he's on his way anyway. I know he's gone. I guess he's there by now. But I'm praying for that boy. Man, I am. I'm praying for all our military. But wouldn't it be a sad thing for a young man, young woman, go over there and give their life for their country and still die and go to hell? How awful that be. Well, I want them all to know Christ. And we're all praying for their safety to come back. But what America needs to be praying about is not just that they'll come back safely, but that God will save their old wretched souls before it's too late in this life. I want them saved. We're having a bad economical, is that the right word? Crisis. You know what? People are praying, oh, what we, wringing the hand, what we going to do, what we going to do. I love Brother Carey's sign out there on the sign out there. Hey, trust God. Don't trust your pocketbook. And some people, they'll come in and boy, they'll give a little extra as if that's going to buy their way to heaven. God said, thy money perish with thee. You can't buy your way to heaven. Some people just think because they put a dollar in offering plate. Oh, I told you about the old fella that lived down the road from me and Wetumpka down there when I was pastoring down there. Once in a while, he'd give me some money and he'd say, put that in the offering plate. He'd give me $5 or $10, but about once a month, he'd take $1,600 every month that rolled around and run over to Mississippi and get on those gambling boats and lose every bit of it. And I said, Jack, won't you give that $1,600? That'll save you some money in the long run. I said, you won't be wasting gas going to Mississippi. You won't have to pay for a motel room. I said, all you got to do is call me on the phone. I'll come get it, throw it in the offering plate. I said, if you just really want to waste it, won't you give it away that way? Yeah, he'd give that gambling crowd $1,600. And once in a while, he'd give our church $5 or $10. But I guess he thought, boy, if I just give a little bit, I'm appeasing my conscience. I mean, after all, God let me go to heaven if I throw in $5. Why, listen, you're not going to buy your way in. You got to be saved. Hypocrites have no desire for God. They seek Him when there's problems. Oh, they're not interested in church unless there's... Hey, I have people call me once in a while and said, do y'all rent y'all's church out for weddings? Now, I don't know what y'all have ever done in the past, but I always tell them no. I don't know what your plan has been in the past, but if somebody calls me and says, can we rent your church for a wedding? No. If you're a member here in good standing and saved, you can use it. Won't cost you a dime. I have people call me every now and then, can y'all help us pay a bill? Can y'all give us money for that? Had a lady last week called. She said, I'm literally out of toilet tissue and paper towels. Can you help me? Well, my wife and I, we carried her some. But isn't it sad? And Lee said this, I heard her say this several years ago, Brother John. She said, you know, everybody that calls and needs help, if they'd just get saved and get in a good local church somewhere, they'd have a family that would help them. And I believe it's God's plan for God's people to help their own when they're in a crisis. Sure. But this crowd that's out there and they get in trouble, they can look us up in the Yellow Pages. I think next year I'm going to just take the parsonage number out of the phone book. That's the only calls I get is help. Now, if y'all, after 10, I've been here almost 11, going on 11 years, and if you don't know my number now, you don't need to call me no way. Now, I don't mind them calling the church, but I'm talking about all during the night. Can you help us? People call and say, we're on vacation. We ran out of money. Can you give us money to get home? My wife and I'd love to take some good vacations. But if you hadn't got money to go, you just don't go. Now, we're flying to Arizona week after next to see our daughter. We're going to stay a week with her, but we bought the tickets there and we bought tickets back. I'm not going to have to go down to the airport and say, can you help me get back to... Y'all would have to vote Brother Carl in. I'd never get back. But isn't it amazing how lost people... How they say they love God and how they want God, but it's just because they ain't a bind. How they say they love the church, but it's just because they ain't a bind. How they say they're interested in the Bible, but they're not really interested in the Bible. Hey, listen. When they set their faces toward heaven, that spoke of their character. And then we see the centrality of their seeking God. They said, we want to join ourselves to the Lord. I mean, listen. I believe what the Bible says about a fellow getting saved. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a, what, new creature. Old things are passed away. In other words, old habits, old ideas, old sins, old ways, they're gone. And now we just set our face toward God and we want to be joined with Him. We want to be numbered with that crowd. I don't know about you, but I didn't get in to get out. I mean, I got in when God saved me. God saved me all the way. There's never been a day in my life since I've been saved that I've regretted that I got saved and born again. Son, I owe a debt to God that I'll never be able to pay. I'll never be able to serve Him long enough. I'll never be able to say enough. But listen, I'm saying once you and I got saved, God said He ought to be, He wants to be, He should be the center of our lives. From this day to the day He calls us home. I know about everything we do ought to be around Jesus Christ. Built around Him. Our vacation, our plans, our desires, everything we do ought to be built around Jesus Christ. Hey, then we see not only that they want to join themselves to the Lord. Hey, Paul said for me to live is Christ. Wasn't that something? He's a boy since I've been saved. Now, Paul, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. You want to see a fella got changed? He got changed, buddy. I'm talking about God changed him. And Brother Jamie and these going to these prisons with the Rock of Ages. Hey, listen, when I was in Alabama, we got real involved in the prison ministry there. What did I say that preacher's name was this morning? Steve Gregory. That's the one I was trying to tell you about last night. That old sorry, rotten man, I'm telling you. Son, God saved him. He's a blessing. He's a good old boy. He loves God. But I'm saying when God saves a man, He changes him. And everything you do, you ought to want to do it for Christ. Center your life around Jesus. Man, listen, since God saved us, since He birthed us in the family, you stop and think about what God's done for you this morning. Just stop and think about how that He changed not only our destination, but He's changed our character. Man, we're Christians. Christians. Boy, you ought to run out these doors with your head held up high this morning. I'm talking about just jump up and click your heels and clap your hands and say, praise God, I'm a child of God this morning. I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed. I love Him this morning. I can say it plainly as they say it. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Say it plainly. And then we see, lastly, Not only do they want to align themselves up with the Lord, but their commitment. They said in the latter part of that verse, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. And you know, one of these days, we're going to be gone. And what are they going to say about us after we're gone? I mean, really, what are they going to say about us? That little old dash between the date you was born and the date you die, that little old dash speaks volumes. Is it going to cry out unto the world that they used to be? They used to be? They used to be? Or is it going to say they loved God to the last day of their life? Is it going to say they gave their all to the Lord? Hey, listen, we're not just serving God for ourselves, but we need to be trying to lay down a foundation for our children and our children's children that they might see Christ in us and want what we've got. I don't have a whole lot to leave my children, but one thing I hope I can leave them is a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a perpetual, a divine love, a love that'll never wane. I do not, hey, Beth, you listen to me, and I'll tell Claire this, if I die and go to heaven, or when I die and go to heaven, not if I die, when I die and go to heaven, and if I look down from the gates of heaven and I see y'all taking my old commentaries and books and selling them at a yard sale and all my Bibles and selling them at a yard sale, I'm going to come down and haunt y'all to the day you come to glory. Listen, use those books. Read them. Give them to missionaries. Give them to preachers. Give them to people that will use them for the glory of God. Sure. A perpetual. They said this, they didn't say we're just going to come and join God for a little while. They said, son, we want to latch on to him and it's going to be a perpetual memorial. In other words, that word perpetual means forever. Yeah. Unending, undying. I'm saying, what kind of blessings are you seeking from God this morning? They said, boy, we're going to set our face toward heaven. Brother Andrew, they said, we're going to heaven. I want to keep looking for you over here and you back there. Done backslid and got on the back row back there. Good night. But listen, what are you seeking this morning? Are you seeking the Lord? And if you are seeking the Lord, are you doing it wholeheartedly? Or are you like a lot of them that just, well, I'll seek him when times are hard, but after it gets good, everything will be all right. You need him this morning. If you need to be saved, you ought to come. I wouldn't let this day slide by me without getting saved if I wasn't sure. I'm talking about if I had just a small smidgen of a doubt, I'd make my way to this altar this morning and I wouldn't get up from my knees and off my face till I knew that my name was written down in the Lamb Book of Life forever. Are you saved? Do you know it? If you are saved, are you seeking him? Do you desire him? Do you love him? Let's seek him. Let's pray. Father, God, we do thank you for the good day. God, we thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would be like Israel. God, all of us have to confess that we've all gone astray. God said all we like sheep have gone astray and turned every man to his own way. God, I'm thankful for that day that you found me. Lord, it wasn't me, it wasn't you that was lost, it was me, but you found me, and I'm glad. And God, I pray that you'd help those that might be here this morning that has not found you, or you have not found them, rather, and they don't know you as their Savior. I pray, God, today they'd come and say yes to Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts as Christians. Draw us closer to thee. And God, whatever you do this morning, we'll be careful to praise you and thank you. For we pray and ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Brother Shane, he'll come. Our musicians will come. If you need to come this morning, you're not sure about your salvation, hey, you can settle it this morning. Well, what will people say, preacher? They'll say, hallelujah. They'll say, praise God. Amen. They'll say, God, do it again. Yeah. We want you to know. What number, brother?
362.
Let's stand and sing, and you let the Lord have his way in your heart this morning. Amen.